From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, starter from news, news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Embassy facilitates return of 98 migrant workers from Brunei. University of Indonesia prepared to develop 1,000 COVID-20 ventilators locally. Now the news in details. The Indonesian Embassy in Bandar Seri Begawan, Brunei Darussalam facilitated the return of 98 Indonesian workers back home in the wake of the country's having suspended several international flights to stem the spread of the COVID-19. Escorted by Antara, Indonesian Ambassador to Brunei Darussalam Sujatmiko dispatched the workers aboard a special flight of the Royal Brunei Airlines on Friday to return home. Brunei Darussalam has suspended some international flights, including to and from Indonesia, since March 23rd to cope the spread of the novel coronavirus. Sujatmiko noted that the special flight provided was emblematic of the cooperation between the governments of Indonesia and Brunei Darussalam, and the Royal Brunei Airlines has mirrored the government's concern of the condition of the Indonesian workers amid the COVID-19 pandemic. University of Indonesia will mass-produce low-cost pneumatic system-based local transport ventilators, or COVID-20, that cleared a production test for the CMV and CPAP modes of ventilation at the Health Facility Securities Agency, BPFK, Jakarta. Escorted by Antara, Chief of the National Universities of Indonesia's ventilators team, Dr. Pasari, noted in a written statement released on Friday that in the first stage, University of Indonesia has targeted to produce 1,000 ventilators in a month to be distributed among COVID-19 referral hospitals. Through collaboration, aimed at raising funds from various parties under the coordination of the Association of Alumni of the University of Indonesia's Technical Faculty, COVID-20 will later undergo preclinical animal testing at the Indonesian Medical Education and Research Institute of the University of Indonesia's Medical School and clinical tests at appointed hospitals before being produced in mass with its industrial partner. Central Java Governor Ganjar Pranowo symbolically distributed packages of essential to thousands of workers laid off and on unpaid leave over the COVID-19 pandemic during the commemoration of International Labor Day in Boyolali District. Escorted by Antara, Pranowo expressed gratitude to the workers for their patience to face an unprecedented situation due to COVID-19 pandemic. Mental peace, solidity, brotherhood, solidarity, and mutual help are the cornerstones in the fight against the COVID-19 pandemic. The government is mulling over ways to help those reeling from the brunt of the COVID-19 pandemic, adding that the COVID-19 outbreak had not shown signs of abating, but it had begun to ease steadily. The governor is optimistic that the packages to meet basic needs would proffer a sense of security and comfort to the workers for the months ahead. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Kim Jong-un has appeared in public for the first time in 20 days, North Korean state media says. Korean Central News Agency KCNA reports that the North Korean leader cut the ribbon at the opening of a fertilizer factory It adds that people at the factory broke into thunderous cheers of hurrah when he appeared on Friday. The reported appearance, his first since an event on state media on April 12, comes amid global speculation over his health. The latest reports from North Korean media could not be independently confirmed. As about Kim's reported reappearance, US President Donald Trump told reporters that he didn't want to comment yet. Speculations about Kim's health began after he missed the birth anniversary celebration of his grandfather, state founder Kim Il-sung, on April 15. The anniversary is one of the biggest events in the North Korea calendar, and Kim usually marks it by visiting the mausoleum where his grandfather lies. Kim had never missed this event. A bitter feud between Afghan President Ashraf Ghani and his rival Abdullah Abdullah appeared closer to resolution on Friday, after Abdullah said the two men had moved forward in talks. Escorted by AFP.com, Abdullah said on Twitter that he himself and President Ashraf have made progress in negotiation and reached tentative agreement on a range of principles. Work on details is underway to finalize the agreement. Abdullah previously served as Afghanistan's chief executive under a power-sharing deal with Ghani, but lost that post following last year's presidential election that Ghani won amid claims of fraud. Instead of accepting defeat, Abdullah proclaimed himself president, a title he uses to this day, though the international community only recognizes Ghani. President Donald Trump has said he has seen evidence the new coronavirus originated in a Chinese lab, an assertion that threatened on Friday to turn a global health emergency into a diplomatic crisis. As quoted by AFP.com, the US president's statement was immediately undermined by intelligence officials and top diplomat Mike Pompeo, who said he does not know precisely where it began. But the claim already denied by Beijing could stir tensions even as the World Health Organization asked to be allowed to take part in Chinese investigation into the animal origins of the pandemic. The lockdowns that have frozen the global economy for weeks continue to ease, with South Africa and Austria allowing some businesses to reopen from Friday, joining other parts of Europe and some US states that have begun to emerge in the last few days. South Africa began to gradually ease its strict coronavirus lockdowns on Friday, allowing some industries to reopen after 5 weeks of restrictions that plunged into struggling economy deeper into turmoil. As quoted by AFP.com, the economy of Africa's most industrialized nation was already tethering with low growth and high debt when the lockdown kicked in on March 27th. On Wednesday, S&P downgraded the country's credit rating further to junk, with 5,647 confirmed cases and 103 fatalities. South Africa has the continent's highest COVID-19 death toll. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuguk Somawati. Here's news analysis today with: are children at lower risk for the coronavirus disease? Since 2 weeks ago, some European countries are to ease coronavirus restrictions gradually. Denmark is the first in Europe to let the young children under the age of 11 and younger return to school after a month of closures. Last week, the Spain government announced to lift its restrictions partially and allow children under 14 to leave their homes each day for a total of 1 hour between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., but without going farther than a kilometer. Meanwhile, Sweden are keeping businesses and schools open. Families are enjoying the warm weather to sit outside, and people are making the most of it. Since children are the first to allowed leave the houses, leading to the questions: are the young age at lower risk for COVID-19? Dr. Sophie Fernand is the clinical expert of the GoodRx research team, specializes in pulmonology, wrote an article that posted on April 16. Usually, children bear the brunt of a whole range of contagious illnesses. There are those viruses to deal with, like seasonal colds, viral chest infections, and dreaded stomach bugs. Children seem to be less likely to get COVID-19. Adults make up more than 98% of the known cases to date. Whether kids are immune to the virus or they just don't get sick with it, we're not sure yet. Dr. Fernet said, because the numbers of confirmed cases in children are small, and because the widespread testing is not available, they are still learning about how coronavirus affects children of different ages. It is very likely that many children have been affected by the coronavirus than we know, because the emphasis has been so firmly placed on older adults. Children, younger children especially, get many normal viral infections in childhood. Scientists think that this repeated viral exposure prepares the child's immune system for SARS-CoV-2. This means that they are better armed to fight it when they do encounter it. Another theory is that because their immune system is still learning, it is less likely to react aggressively to the coronavirus, something called a cytokine storm, which is associated with many adults' deaths from COVID-19. Scientists also wonder whether an enzyme called angiotensin-converting enzymes, or ACE, might have something to do with it. The coronavirus SARS-CoV-2 is thought to latch on this enzyme in the lung. This enzyme isn't very active in childhood, so this might explain why the virus doesn't cause a lot of damage there. Most children seem to get a mild or moderate illness with SARS-CoV-2 virus, or not illness at all. The symptoms of COVID-19 are similar in children and adults, but that many fewer infected children have symptoms. Listener, that was the news analysis. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news from across the country. The first information is coming from Palu, Central Sulawesi. Central Sulawesi Provincial Government now has a polymerase chain reaction, or PCR, laboratory to examine swab samples from residents indicated to be infected with the coronavirus or COVID-19. With the PCR laboratory, the regency and city government in Central Sulawesi will not wait for more than a day for the result of a patient swab test as before, when it had to be sent to the laboratory in Makassar, South Sulawesi. Head of Central Sulawesi Health Office, Dr. Reni Lamayido, last Thursday said the laboratory could examine up to 26 swab samples a day. Central Sulawesi is now the second province on Sulawesi Island that is able to test swab samples via the PCR method according to the standard operating procedures of the COVID-19 surveillance protocol. Information is coming from Temanggung Regency, Central Java. Temanggung Regency, Central Java won first place in the 2020 Regional Development Award in Planning and Implementing Development at the District Level. Temanggung Region M. Al-Khazik said last Thursday that the award had important meaning to be more confident in developing Temanggung Regency in the future. Meanwhile, Head of Temanggung Regional Development Planning, Ripto Susilo, said that the indicators assessed for the award were the development planning document, the result that had been achieved, and the innovations that were carried out. The last news is coming from the city of Salatiga, Central Java. General Sudirman Street in Salatiga, Central Java was changed to a market that kept a distance between traders and buyers. This was done to prevent the spread and transmission of the coronavirus COVID-19. Mayor of Salatiga, M. Yulianto, explained, to arrange the placement of stalls according to the number of traders, a group system was implemented. Each group of traders is coordinated by one person appointed as the chair of the circles of friends. The chairperson is then responsible for the order and discipline of his members' traders in applying distance, wearing masks, and washing hands. Yulianto also said the market with a model like this is not only for 1 or 2 days, but for a period of time that has not even been determined. Listener, that was news from across the country. I'm Nico Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
We begin today in a story with an event on May 2nd on National Education Day of Indonesia. May 2nd, 1889, is the birthday of the educational figure of Indonesia, Suryadi Suryaningrat, who is well known as Ki Hajar Dewantara. He is the pioneer of education for Indonesian indigenous community. He established Taman Siswa, an educational institution that gave an opportunity for common natives to get education like the nobles or the Dutch people. To remember his services, his birthday is commemorated in Indonesia as National Education Day. Part of his motto, Tutwuri Handayani, which means encouraging and motivating from behind, becomes the slogan of the Indonesian Ministry of National Education. Its name is perpetuated as one of the names of Indonesian warship, KRI Ki Hajar Dewantara. The next event is that in 1964, Cut Nyak Dien was determined as Indonesia's national heroine. Cut Nyak Dien, who passed away in Sumedang, West Java on November 6, 1908, is an Achenese woman. On May 2, 1964, by Indonesian government, she was determined as Indonesia's national heroine based on Presidential Decree No. 106, 1964. Cut Nyak Dien with her husband Tengku Umar struggled against the Dutch colonial in the period of Aceh War. However, Tengku Umar passed away while attacking Malabo on February 11, 1899. So Cut Nyak Dien fought alone in the inland of Malabo with her small army. Because of her struggle, she was arrested by the Dutch and exiled to Sumedang, West Java, until she passed away on November 6, 1908. She was buried in Mount Puyuh, Sumedang. The last event is that in 1994, Nelson Mandela won general election in South Africa. Nelson Mandela is an outstanding black politician in South Africa. Since he was a student, Nelson began to become an activist to oppose apartheid in South Africa. Because of the event to oppose the government of white skin in 1962, he was arrested and accused to conduct sabotage and conspire to overthrow the government, and he had been punished for life imprisonment at Rivonia Court. But due to international insistence, Nelson Mandela was finally freed in 1990. After eliminating the apartheid politics, South Africa held general elections of multi-parties and races. The general elections were participated in by Congress Party of Africa, ANC, led by Nelson Mandela. On May 2, 1994, Nelson Mandela won the historical general elections in South Africa and made him be the first black president of South Africa. And listener, that was today in history.
Lagu cinta biasa, hanya denting nada yang memanjakan senyumanmu. Ingin ku cerita semua rahasia yang hanya Tuhan dan kamu yang tahu. kau buatku lemah tak berdaya. Kau membebaskanku dan bersamamu aku tahu kau suka padaku karena erat kau memeluk aku terasa nyaman kau bersama aku. Aku pun inginkan kamu. Semua ini memang tidak biasa. Yeah, yeah. Apa yang ku rasa padamu memang istimewa. Selidiki aku apa adanya. Ayo kita bongkar mujizat dunia. Kau membuat hati tergila-gila. Hatiku tergila-gila. Aku tahu kau suka padaku kau memeluk aku. Terasa nyaman kau bersama aku. Aku pun inginkan kamu. Buatku tertawa dan bersamamu. Kau membebaskanku dan bersamamu. Kau suka padaku karena erat kau memeluk aku. Aku tahu kau suka padaku karena erat kau memeluk aku.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back, listener. Here is My Indonesia on Ministry's Facilities, Food Startup Indonesia 2020. The Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy facilitates creative economic actors to develop business models through a platform for culinary startups, namely Food Startups Indonesia or FSI 2020. Acting Director of Access to Financing, Hanifah Makarim, in his statement to Antaranus Agency on Wednesday explained, FSI 2020 is a culinary program to screen participants in developing culinary business models to meet investors and culinary practitioners. Hanifah said that he wanted to help culinary practitioners develop not only as a micro business, but to be the host in the Indonesian culinary business and even to go international. Hanifah Makarim explained, in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, many businesses were affected one of the most impacted was the tourism sector. In tourism itself, there are so many supporting businesses, from the culinary, such as restaurants and hotels, travel agents, guide services, to souvenir sellers. Therefore, the ministry is preparing several programs to help culinary, creative economy actors by continuing to implement Food Startup Indonesia FSI 2020. This program was originally going to present roadshows in several cities, but because of the pandemic, it was implemented online. According to Hanifah, culinary practitioners and public response to Food Startup Indonesia 2020 was very enthusiastic. It was proven by the participant who registered more than the quota provided. Quotas are available for 1,000 participants, but the registration, which was been open from April 20 to 28, 2020, was followed by 1,300 participants. Participants get digital tools in the form of open access online education to develop their business, such as forming ecosystem, opening access to facilities, government support, and access to sources of financing. After going through a number of selections processes, there will be 100 selected participants who will be entitled to participate in the Demo Day FSI 2020 activities in July 2020, free of charge. Hanifah also explained, there were several other programs for creative economic actors, for example, government incentive assistance, which had entered the third year. This year, it will be launched in the second or third week of May and to be given to five sectors, namely fashion, crafts, animation, video, and tourism. The fund which comes from the state budget can be used for working capital. For example, for culinary business, it can be used to buy large oven machines, packaging equipment, and raw materials. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nika Kusumawati.
dirimu selamanya.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to our segment, Indonesian Wonder. Today we will introduce horok horok, a traditional snack from Jepara, Central Java. Stay tuned. Listener, Jepara is one of the regions in Indonesia that has several kinds of culinary with specialty, so-called is horok-horok. It is the traditional food of Jepara, which is not commonly found in other regions. Horo-horo is made from sugar palm flour. The shape is tiny, round, resembling styrofoam. The cuisine is savory and chewy. This food has been popular since the September 13th movement. The process of making horok-horok is quite complicated and it takes around 2 days to make. Therefore, horok-horok is getting hard to be found. Horok-horok can be the substitution of rice since its main ingredient. Sugar palm flour has an equivalent amount of calorie and carbohydrate as rice. Listener, to make horok-horok, firstly we wash the sugar palm flour and dry it. Afterward, we roast the sugar palm flour. The next step is steaming the sugar palm flour, which has been dry. After it is cooked, we pour the sugar palm flour into a pot and stir it with a comb. The dough will turn into a tiny, round and chewy thing like a styrofoam. The unique thing about horok-horok is that it is stirred with a comb. To give extra flavor to the dish, we can add some salt to it and eat it with other foods such as meatball, gado-gado or mixed vegetables with peanut sauce, pecel, and kikil or cow's throat satay. Although horok-horok is getting rare to be found, we can still find it at traditional market in Jepara. The price of horok-horok is very affordable. With only 2,000 rupiah, you can taste the delicacy of horok-horok. The presentation of horok-horok is also still traditional because it is wrapped with thick leaves. Listener, if you visit Jepara, please stop over to taste horok-horok. And that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring horok-horok. We'll meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. See you!
berbisik untuk melepas keresahan. Apa arti merindu selalu? Oh, oh, oh. Walau mentari terbit di utara, hatiku hanya untukmu. Ada hati yang termanis dan penuh cinta, tentu saja kan ku balas seisi jiwa. Tiada lagi, tiada lagi yang ganggu kita. Ini kesungguhan, sungguh aku sayang kamu. Ingin berjalan menyusuri cinta, cinta yang abadi, yang abadi untukmu selamanya.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with miscellany. This edition is discussing the importance of dressing neatly when working from home. Over the last few months, more and more institutions and companies in Indonesia have begun implementing work-from-home policies in an effort to prevent the spread and transmission of new types of coronavirus or COVID-19. Working from home may provide some flexibility for employees, one of which is being able to work wearing casual clothes or even nightgowns. But you know what? It turns out that being properly dressed when working from home has its own benefits. Clinical psychologist from Jakarta Personal Growth, Veronica Adesla, as quoted by republika.co.id, said that dressing neatly is important. She explained that to dress up when working from home can affect performance and productivity. When someone only put on casual clothes or even sleepwear, the mindset and mood formed is also relaxed or worse still, lazy. Therefore, one way to maintain focus and productivity while working from home is to dress neatly, namely wearing clothes usually worn when working in the office. Besides dressing neatly, another thing that is no less important when working from home is to have a special spot for work. This special room or corner for work should have several facilities that can support work, such as desks and computers. In addition, the room used should be protected from a variety of disturbances that might interfere with work focus. For example, not adjacent to television or a place to watch it. Creating an atmosphere and building a good mood is important to consider when someone works from home. The reason? Because basically the house has a different function from the office, so the mood and mindset that is formed will be different. The house is usually a place to rest and unwind after work or activities. Listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany. We'll meet again tomorrow with other interesting information. See you next time.
Daddy.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World. In today's edition, we'll present a keroncong song entitled Kini Baru Kau Rasa. The song was composed by Amin Ivos in pop genre in 1990s. Then, Dewi Yul tried to sing the song in pop keroncong genre. Lyrics of the song were not changed, but only its rhythm was changed into seductive rhythm because it was accompanied by keroncong music. Even though the song was not as popular as in pop genre, the love story song was sung by Dewi Yul well. Listener, here is Dewi Yul with the song entitled Kini Baru Kau Rasa.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Pagi ke pagi ku terjebak di dalam ambisi, seperti orang-orang berdasi yang gila materi. Rasa bosan membukakan jalan mencari terang. Keluarlah dari zona nyaman. Sebilu yang dulu biarlah berlalu. Bekerja bersama hati, kita ini insan bukan seekor sapi. Sebilu yang dulu biarlah membiru. Berkarya bersama hati. Perlahan ku rakit egoku, merangkul orang-orang yang mulai sejiwa denganku. Kebeeman membukakan jalan mencari teman. Bergeraklah dari zona nyaman. Seekor sapi. Sembilu yang dulu biarlah membiru. Berkarya bersama hati.
It is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safidadala. See you on the next English program.